Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. You can call, leave a message, and you'll be on a future podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. This episode is conducted by me and me only. No guests this week. A lot of busyness here in the Northeast. Snow and rain and all sorts of things, but getting ready for the big game. So it's just me this week. Alex and my father and all of them will come back next week, most likely on the next episode. So for me, it's just for today, it's just me. So okay, so you know, the lead up has come pretty much to the end. We're almost here. It's going to be Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Panthers, all the information you could have wanted, you've gotten in the last 2 weeks. Now it's time to play the game. So let's talk about the game. Two very good defenses, probably one better than the other, being the Broncos. Two offenses, one far better than the other. The Panthers do have the better offense. And the Broncos do just enough not to lose. So, look, from a fan perspective, personally mine, it doesn't matter who wins. I like Cam Newton. I like the Panthers. I really do enjoy them. If they win, I'll be happy. Also, I'll be happy because hopefully, depending on the score, I might win some money. But that's beside the point. However, I really enjoy Peyton as a player. I wouldn't go as far to say I have a man crush on Peyton Manning, but I do very much enjoy Peyton Manning as a player, and I prefer him over Brady. In the Brady versus Manning argument, I take Manning, Peyton specifically. You can't really make an argument for Eli just yet. I personally think if Peyton Manning wins the Super Bowl, he will have done one thing that no other quarterback has ever done, and that is win a Super Bowl with more than one team as a starting quarterback. Jim McMahon has a ring as a Green Bay Packer, but that's only because he was Brett Favre's backup. So he doesn't count. But Peyton Manning is starting his second Super Bowl for a second team, two with the Colts and now two with the Broncos. If he were to win a ring and, you know, be a part of the game, he will have done something that nobody else has done. And I think that that should be a bit of a focal point. I understand it's not going to change people's opinions, but everybody says, you know, one ring is not enough. You need two. We look at Elway that way. If he had just won the runway, one ring, we would have, okay, good for him. He won a ring, but he won two. And it's okay. Well, now it's a big deal. You know, Craig Morton with the Cowboys and Broncos actually went to a Super Bowl with two different, started Super Bowls with two different teams, and so did Kurt Warner with the Rams and Cardinals. Morton won neither of his Super Bowls, and Warner won one of his three actually. And Peyton's won one with the Colts, and now he's going to try to win one with the Broncos. And I really enjoy Cam. I enjoy the style of play. I didn't mind him in Auburn. I kind of liked him there. But, you know, now you've gone back and you're looking at, especially these last 2 weeks when everybody who's in Santa Clara or San Francisco specifically, you know, doing all the media day stuff and just trying to find stories are bringing up his collegiate history, where he started out at Florida. Ran afoul of some people there, specifically found in possession of a stolen laptop. And then he goes to a junior college, and then he goes to Auburn and wins a national championship. I forget if he won the Heisman Trophy. Yes, I believe he did. I believe so. So, you know, that's been brought up, and, you know, and of course, him possibly taking money, or I shouldn't say he taking money, but his father taking money from Auburn to coax his son into going there. So, you know, that's come up. I don't mind him. And yes, he did win the Heisman Trophy. So, you also have the changing of the guard. The old man, Peyton, and the relatively young guy, Cam Newton, the new style of play, the big running, throwing quarterback versus the pocket passer of a bygone era. Even though there are still successful pocket passers, Brady, and the other, you know, another topic that was brought up by Cam, actually, saying that bringing up his heritage as an African American and how that rubs people the wrong way. I don't think that's true. If anything were to be racial with Cam Newton, that would rub people the wrong way. It would be people who are not Auburn fans, specifically SEC fans who are Alabama fans as well, not liking Cam for his collegiate career. And then, I mean, saying that we've never seen anything like him before, nobody specifically like him. However, Randall Cunningham was very successful for a long time. Steve McNair, I mean, Mike Vick, although Mike Vick was not as big as him. But I mean, to say that, you know, being a black quarterback at the Super Bowl isn't something we haven't seen. Well, we have seen it. Doug Williams won Super Bowl as an MVP as well. Donovan McNabb went to the Super Bowl. He didn't win. But to say that we've never seen anything like Cam before, it's not, and that's what makes people uncomfortable. That's not 100% true. I have a feeling that might also be him saying that was kind of the, because I've heard, you know, distractions at the Super Bowl for teams. Oh, that's a distraction. Oh, this is, we are constantly getting asked questions about this, that, or the other thing. It's really kind of distracting us. So I'm wondering if Cam sort of took it upon himself, you know, as the leader of the team, to say, all right, I'm going to have people focus on me on this. They're going to focus on me anyway, but now they're really going to focus on this. Because I don't know if they're going to be asking Jared Allen or Thomas Davis about, you know, Cam Newton's blackness being a big deal at the Super Bowl. So that can be that. But again, I don't see, to me personally, and really in the grand scheme of things, I don't see anything that would cause this game to be a loss for the nation. I'll bring up last year, me specifically, but I'm sure other people too. The Patriots winning was not the favorite outcome of the game. You know, fans like me, who I'm a Jet fan, you know, I'm sick of the Patriots. I'm very happy that they're not playing in the Super Bowl. And I'll be very happy if they don't play in any others. But I know that's very unlikely. They're probably going to go back at least one more time. And so for them to win last year was really just again, tired of this in the NFL where it's parity. I'm not saying that they should be punished because they've been so successful in the parity of the NFL. But for them to be so successful, I mean, I can only imagine what it was like to be a Dodger or Giant fan, or even, you know, a Tiger fan in the late 40s, throughout the 50s, seeing the Yankees go year in and year out to the World Series, and just all of that just has to be, and it is, from the football side of it, just tiresome. So, but in this game, if the Broncos win, Peyton Manning's going to look, he's going to be looked upon even more favorably than he already has. John Elway, as an executive, will also be looked very positively upon. Gary Kubiak, that triumvirate of quarterbacks and former quarterbacks. Elway, Kubiak, and Manning together. It will be this sort of three-headed, you know, monster that finally broke through. And if Carolina wins, it's something positive for the league. The modern athlete, so-called, the Cam Newtons of the world, you know, Ron Rivera. A lot of good stories on both sides. It really, really is. So what I would like to see is Peyton Manning win. And that's kind of what I hope will happen. But it's very easy to see Carolina winning. Carolina is a big favorite. They're not double digits in terms of the spread on the betting line, but I've constantly been hearing people saying that this is going to be a repeat of Super Bowl 48. And this is going to be, you know, 43-8 with the Broncos and the Seahawks again. This is going to be a repeat of that. I don't think so. And I think that's silly to say. And I think you're going off of past performances. Seeing some past predictions of, or at least past upsets in the Super Bowl, specifically Giants Super Bowls, Super Bowl 25, Super Bowl 42, you know, the Bills in Super Bowl 25, heavy favorites. They had lambasted the Raiders in the AFC Championship game, while the Giants in that game snuck by the Niners, and then they went in and they were able to withhold the Bills' offense. And then you had Super Bowl 42 with the perfect season on the line and the Giants coming in and just not being respected at all. And understandably, you know, the Patriots had won 3 Super Bowls at that time and they had just put on the best offensive regular season in history. So it can be seen why the Giants were not anywhere favored to win the Super Bowl, or even near, come close, make it a close game. And I saw an article that talked about some of the upsets and what the reasons were. And the big part of it were turnovers. If you turn the ball over, you're going to lose. You lose the turnover battle, it's very, very difficult to win. And another thing is just being smart with the football. And not, I don't just mean in terms of turnovers. I'm talking, you know, having time of possession, winning that battle. Field position is a big part of it too, and just being smart in terms of what goes on the field, what goes on the sidelines. Just be smart, keep your head in the game, don't get distracted, and don't get down, don't press too much. I mean, that can be said about any game, so it's not a big surprise. So, but I think that this will be a close game. I say 7 points would be the difference sometime late in the game. I don't know who or what. It's very likely Carolina's going to be ahead. And, you know, I'm sure Peyton's going to... What most likely will happen is Panthers are winning. The Broncos have the ball one last time. They're driving down. And either they score or they don't, whatever it might be. Which also leads me to another popular thing that's happening at the Super Bowl. Specifically with betting, is the are the prop bets, which you really see, which are very, very popular at the Super Bowl. You know, all sorts of stuff like, will Peyton Manning announce his retirement in the post-game interview? How many times the announcers are going to mention the dab? How many times Archie Manning is going to be shown on television? Eli Manning, all that stuff. Some really interesting ones. My one that I'm very, very interested in and that I would be willing to even put money down on would be, pardon me, would be overtime. And I think that this Super Bowl will go into overtime. I honestly do believe that. Yes is, you know, plus 550. So you put $100 down on that and you win 550. I would absolutely be willing to put down, maybe not 100, but put money on that. Because I really think that there's going to be overtime. I think that's how close the game is. It's the 50th Super Bowl. I know they're not going to plan it that way, but just some things work out. And I think at the, you know, biggest stage of the biggest show being the Super Bowl, I think overtime really, really could happen. So I'd kind of like to see that. I also enjoy the color of the Gatorade that's being poured on. I think somebody had mentioned that, who is it? Cam likes red. That's his favorite, the red Gatorade. So that would be, oh, no, I'm sorry. He said orange. And orange is 5-4, the odds of that happening. So we'll see. And I think we might have, if the Panthers win the Super Bowl, Cam's got to be, is most likely going to be MVP. The majority of the MVPs are quarterbacks. Like, they're the default one. Joe Namath won a Super Bowl MVP without even throwing a touchdown. So, you know, it's happened. You know, wide receivers are also popular. And, I mean, a running back, we haven't had a running back MVP since Emmitt Smith back in the early to mid-90s. So, but with these defenses, you got to pick maybe like Josh Norman or Aqib Talib. One of the defensive backs are probably going to make enough big plays to be considered MVP. So if we want to go down that route, that's probably what's going to happen. So speaking of the NFL, now that we're, what else is there to say about the Super Bowl? Go out, play the game. If you like Coldplay, watch Coldplay. And be excited for Beyonce, I suppose. Oh, and Bruno Mars. But moving on and staying with football, the Johnny Manziel story has just absolutely fallen apart. And it coincides with a couple things. Well, first of all, number one, Johnny Manziel was being sought after by the police in, I think, Irving or Fort Worth, Texas. I forget where in Texas, but he was being searched via helicopter even, looking for Johnny Manziel at the behest of his girlfriend. I forget if it was girlfriend at the time or just ex-girlfriend in general, worried about him. Then the story comes out that Johnny Manziel was being abusive towards his towards this woman, ex-girlfrend, says that he's willing to kill her and him together in a murder-suicide pact of some sort, but I think a pact needs to be if the other one consents to it, which is silly to say. So there's Johnny Manziel out being, you know, just not okay. Like, it's one, look, not to condone partying to excess, but there's a difference between a person, male or female, going and drinking, spending lots of money, just acting like a fool, and then there is legitimate attacks on a person's life. And that's the big difference here. And it seems like Johnny has had a problem with substance abuse for a while. His father is saying that they've always, or at least they've said or thought privately that he's had problems. But it doesn't sound like they've pushed him to go anywhere. At least that's what it sounds like. So, you know, his father, you know, Johnny wasn't the poor boy trying to struggle, you know, and get out of a bad situation. He was relatively rich. Remember, he almost got in trouble because he almost had his Heisman Trophy taken away because he was found after winning the Heisman Trophy sitting ringside, or not ringside, I apologize, courtside to a Mavericks game. He was seen in a photo holding mounds and mounds of cash that he did end up winning from, I think, a Floyd Mayweather fight. But there's always been these, you know, he always said, oh, I didn't get it from, you know, ill-begotten means. I got it from my dad. His dad's rich. You know, he comes from money. So, but it doesn't seem like, at least from the outside, that dad and the parents were necessarily willing to stop all that stuff for him. You know, take away the toys and ground him, that sort of thing. But now he's not in college anymore. He's a grown man. I'll tell you this much, you will probably never, ever see another freshman win a Heisman Trophy. Because right now, Johnny Manziel is like the older sibling who gets to do something, ruins it for the other kids in the family. This is it. I tell you what, I know you can't redo. If people take away Heisman trophies from players, they should give it to the next person. And looking back, and I'm sure if we'd ask a lot of people, maybe not voters specifically for the Heisman Trophy, but people in general, I think they'd be more willing to give it to Manti Te'o now. You know, the whole thing with his catfished girlfriend, his fake girlfriend, now it seems just small potatoes compared to what Johnny has done and gone on to do. You know, everybody at the times, yes, Notre Dame got embarrassed in the title game and Manti Te'o was not a factor in that game. But, I mean, just Manti Te'o should have won it. I thought it then. And now it really cements it home looking in the future. Because, yes, the Heisman Trophy is to the best college player of that year. But they give awards for a lot of different things. And not all of them have to get dressed up in suits and fly to the Heisman Club in New York City. You know, but they still kind of follow the same guidelines. You know, best player who, you know, the Heisman is not just the best player. It's the best player with outstanding character and all that sort of stuff. It's not just, hey, you play really good. It's you play really good and you're a leader on the team and you're all this stuff. Manti Te'o was that, is that. I mean, you see him in the NFL. Is he a superstar? No, he is not a superstar. However, he is a head down, do your job, get the work done. He impressed the Chargers so much during his training, his first training camp. You know, they gave him a hard time, but he just took it as a rookie, and now look at him. Is he flourishing to grand heights? No. However, he is a solid football player who is doing the right thing. Johnny Manziel is not. He didn't in college, and he is certainly not doing it here in the NFL. Which, going on, still talking about the NFL, recently, of course, the great, Ken Stabler died, earlier in 2015, and his brain was, examined, and it showed signs of having CTE, the brain disorder, found in the vast majority of, former and deceased NFL players. And so Ken Stabler has it. And then it's also talk about O.J. Simpson may, of course, he's not dead, and his brain is not examined, and there's no test for CTE while alive. But there is a rising support in the thought that O.J. Simpson has CTE, and that might have affected his judgment, his life since being retired. Because that's the common theme, is after these players retire, then things start to go badly. Now, does that excuse a double murder? No. However, looking at CTE, looking at how it affects many players, former players, the depression, quick to anger, more aggressive than usual, all these things. I wouldn't be surprised that, of course, Johnny Manziel would have CTE. Again, we can't find that out until he died, or has died, or whatever you want to say, and has his brain examined. But there could be a possibility that this is affecting him. Now, that never excuses violence. It's not a reason to get O.J. Simpson off because, oh, he played football for a long time and he debilitated his brain. No. Oh, Johnny Manziel should be, you know, he should be given multiple chances because his brain has CTE. He needs more chances, and we need to, you know, no more coddling. I mean, grown adults, at a certain point, you just say, you are an adult. You know, if we trust them to drive, if we trust them to hold a job, if we trust them not to do things that are socially unacceptable, we can trust them to not threaten people, not hit people, not do things to excess. And with Johnny Manziel, it's looking really bad. I mean, the talk was in the offseason, well, do the Cowboys go after RG3? Do they go after Johnny Manziel? Well, since the fact that Johnny Manziel's agent dropped him, that's not a good sign, ever. But now that really shows that no team's going to take a flyer on him. You know it's bad when Ryan Leaf looks from the side and shakes his head. Because you're doing things that not only that he did, but he probably never would have done. You know, Ryan Leaf is not an upstanding citizen, but he didn't do this. And he hasn't done this. He's been a bad boy. So we'll see with Johnny Manziel. You know, I'm not saying I want him to fail. I actually kind of want him to succeed. Because if he succeeds, I'm not going to say I was a fan of Tim Tebow in the NFL. I'm not going to say he was my favorite player. But if Johnny Manziel can do it, then a lot of other players can do it as well. The running quarterback, another version of Cam Newton. You know, Cam's doing it the right way. Johnny is not. So moving on from the NFL, though, I want to talk about very quickly some baseball news. The Yankees lost Greg Bird for the season. He had a torn labrum, their first baseman, who came up after Mark Teixeira got injured and was just crushing the ball. And he really showed that he's the future after Teixeira leaves. So to see him go down is sad in a way. I'm not a fan of the Yankees, but, you know, I don't like teams that aren't at 100%. And so now it really throws things together. For the Yankees, it isn't as bad. First of all, anybody can they sign players who hit barely 200 anywhere else, and they come to the Yankees, and they succeed for whatever reason. You know, lefties, it's because of the short porch in terms of power numbers, and righties, it's that big, expansive left field. But, I mean, Chris Young, he was cut by the Mets, and he was cut by the Padres. Yankees pick him up, and he was doing great to the point where a lot of fans were talking about just start him, get rid of somebody else, and let's get rid of these old guys and just start Chris Young. But we know that can't happen. But the Yankees aren't all that bad off. I mean, Greg Bird would have helped them a lot this season, especially when they just need to get to the sixth inning, it seems like, and then their bullpen takes them the rest of the way. But to see, you know, the Yankees not at 100%, I don't like that. I like teams at 100%, you know, all healthy, you know, all ready to go. I hate in-season injuries. It's not fun to watch. So there's that. The Mets got Yoenis Cespedes back. We talked about that, and he was talking about the press. I wanted to come back to New York. Well, you did, because partially for the money. But yeah, I think part of it is because he had such a good relationship here in New York, and the fans, and the fact that it's New York City, as opposed to going to Washington, D.C. Not to badmouth Washington, D.C. However, you know, New York is metropolis. New York is Gotham. New York is everything in terms of national stage and money. You know, the endorsement deals he can get in New York City will far, far exceed anything he'll get in Detroit, Washington, Philadelphia, and even Boston. You know, aside from L.A., New York is number one. And even L.A., they were not serious to go after Cespedes. But I'm very surprised that the Angels didn't go after him. Because, I mean, that offense is Mike Trout, and it's a little bit of Albert Pujols. And after that, it's not much else. You know, Cespedes could have played left field for them. And they would, because Mike Trout's a better center fielder. And having Cespedes in a corner outfield position with that arm is just absolutely awesome. But he goes back to the Mets. Mets want him. I wanted him. So there you go. Going to college football for a minute. National Signing Day was a very big deal for the University of Michigan. They brought out all the big guns. They had basically like a party. National Signing Day, they had, it almost looked like an awards banquet. They were on their stage at their the Michigan Auditorium. Ric Flair was there, Derek Jeter, Tom Brady, Mike Tirico was there as an MC, and Jim Leland. I mean, Jim Harbaugh really pulled out the stops. I mean, I don't think we've seen anything like this since Pete Carroll and USC and bringing Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg and all that stuff. Of course, you know, that didn't help UCLA in the long run because it allowed for elements that caused them to forfeit a national championship and for Reggie Bush to forfeit his Heisman Trophy. I would hope that the lessons had been learned have been learned by the University of Michigan and by Jim Harbaugh by knowing, all right, they can come, but no other benefits. Look, you know, we're hanging out with stars, but that's about it. So, okay, well, thank you very much for listening on this episode. It's trying to keep it at 30 minutes. I know I'm going to go slightly over, but just wanted to talk very quickly about the Super Bowl, get that out. If you want a final prediction score for me, I'm going to go 21-20. Let's have fun. 21-20. I know that doesn't include overtime, but I'm just going to say 21-20. That's my guess. All right. So thank you very much. Again, you can call us at 626-427-7678, and you can follow us on Twitter. Thank you very much. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.